One night, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had a scary dream about thin cows gobbling up fat cows. What on earth did that mean? He didn't know. But Joseph was a dream expert, so Pharaoh sent for him. "It means a famine is coming," he said. "There won't be enough to eat." Pharaoh was so pleased by Joseph's skill that he immediately took Joseph out of jail and made him a prince. Now back home, Joseph's brothers had run out of food, and everyone was very hungry. God's special family was in danger. If they didn't get any food soon, they would starve to death. So Joseph's brothers traveled to Egypt to buy food. They came and knelt before the new prince. His brothers didn't know that the prince was Joseph. But Joseph knew who they were. Joseph's dream, the one about his brothers bowing down to him, was coming true. "It's me," Joseph cried. When they saw it was Joseph, his brothers were afraid. They had wronged Joseph, they had sinned, and they knew it. Now Joseph would certainly punish them. But Joseph looked at his brothers, and his eyes filled with tears. Even though his brothers had hurt him and hated him and wanted him dead, in spite of everything, he couldn't stop loving them. His heart, which they had broken, filled up with love, and Joseph forgave them. Joseph threw his arms around them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Behind what you were doing, underneath everything that was happening, God was doing something good. God was making everything right again." Joseph didn't punish them, he rescued them. He brought God's special family to live safely with him in Egypt. One day, God would send another prince, a young prince, whose heart would break. Like Joseph, he would leave his home and his father. His brothers would hate him and want him dead. He would be sold for pieces of silver. He would be punished, even though he hadn't done anything wrong. But God would use everything that happened to this young prince, even the bad things, to do something good, to forgive the sins of the world.
Thank you, Karen. Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. Well done for being here at half term. Really lovely that we could begin to gather back again, even though it's raining. Really glad to be here. Now, if you are normally over the road or you haven't been here for the last few weeks, you may not have seen what is becoming an iconic piece of art. It looks like this. This is what we are about in Big Church and through the summer. This is what we're doing for the next few weeks. We are looking at the Bible. Well, that's rather radical, I hear you say. After all, we're in church. But rather than taking little bits of the Bible, we're taking the whole thing. And what we're trying to do is see that instead of being lots of individual one-off stories, the Bible also makes sense as a whole big story. So far, we've looked at creation, the story of Adam and Eve. We've looked at fall. Last week, we looked at the story of Abraham and his call. And today, we find ourselves in Egypt. Now, there's a few things that have happened in between there. And if you're following us and you want to fill in those gaps, you now need to read about Genesis 17 to about Genesis 33, something like that, to fill in the intervening period. And again, there's some great stories in there that add to the whole picture. But this week, we are in Egypt. And I need to make sure that by the end of it, I have explained why God's people are now settled in Egypt, so that by next week, everyone's ready to go on the next stage of our journey, which is the Exodus, another epic adventure. So, in Egypt, I wonder if they had this. Does anybody know what this is? Snakes and ladders. Anyone like playing snakes and ladders at home? We sometimes do. We've got a travel one that gets used quite often. Now, snakes and ladders is a story of ups and downs. A story of ups and downs. How does it feel when, perhaps in this game, you've just landed on the nine? How does that feel, knowing that you're going to go sweeping up to the number 27? It's amazing, isn't it? That's really good. You think, yes, I'm going to win this game. I'm going to nobble my dad at this game of snakes and ladders. But then, oh no, you come round to number 34 and you thought, I'm going to win. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself down at number 12. How disappointing. And life is a little bit like that, isn't it? It's sometimes that we find ourselves on a ladder and everything's going brilliantly and we're on our way up to number 27 and we think it's all marvellous. And sometimes a number 34 comes along and where we thought we were just about to win, actually we find ourselves going back down to number 12. Well, the story of Joseph is one of those stories of ups and downs. Now, I would really like some help to think about the ups and downs in this story. So if anybody would like to come and help me, we need to just have some folk at the front here. So now's your chance. Come and help me. It's not difficult. Just a few little actions. Anyone in first class, come and help. That's it. Just come forward. I can cope with lots and lots, she says bravely. So just stand on the steps and turn around and face everyone, and we could have a few. If you want to stand at the front of this area here, all I'm going to ask you to do is make some arrows with your hands. We're going to see if we can be some ups and some downs. Morning, everyone. Good to see you. Here we go. Now, and we're going to have a look at a few of the different bits of the Joseph story, and we're going to work out whether it's an up or whether it's a down. Okay. Now, if we think it's an up, we need to do this. Can you make it? Oh, you can't see that. This with our hands, we're going to make ourselves into an upwards arrow. And if you think it's a really big up, you might want to stretch up to the ceiling. And if we think it's one of the down bits, are our chancel friends seeing what we're doing? If we think it's one of the down bits, we're going to make an arrow downwards. Is that okay? Is that all right? Do be careful of the steps, you who are at the front. If you feel you want to stand on the floor, do that at any time. Okay, so here we go, all right? Joseph was sold as a slave. The favourite son, who had the best outfit ever, was suddenly wearing scruffy slave clothes, and he was having to do exactly as he was told because he'd been sold as a slave. You don't get away with it sitting down there. Do we think this is an up or a down? We've already got some people making their downward arrow. Should we all make our downward arrow? That is a real down, isn't it? What on earth was Joseph thinking was going on when that happened? And where was God when he was being sold as a slave? Now, when he got to Egypt, Joseph was bought by a general who was in charge of the palace, and he did really well as a slave. Joseph learnt to read and write, and he became a trusted member of Pharaoh's household. Do we think that was a down or an up? Some people are already doing their up. That was an up, wasn't it? Joseph was suddenly a trusted member of the family. But then we heard in the story that Joseph got blamed for something he didn't do, and he got put in prison. What happened then? Where's our arrow going now? That is a down, isn't it? Brilliant. Right down. That's really near the floor. That one got blamed for something he didn't do. But Joseph was a good prisoner, and he even became trusted in prison. And he was even asked to help look after other prisoners. Now, sometimes when we get asked to help, we might see our arrow as being right down here because we think that's a bit much. Oh, sweetheart. But being trusted again was great. So he was on an up arrow again. I hope you're getting good exercise. This is our aerobics for this morning. There we are. Oh. Oh, sweetie, I'm so sorry. Downward arrow there. Thanks, Phil. Can I have a cuddle later, please? Please don't. Okay, so Joseph is trusted again. Watch out for the bodyguard down here. Pharaoh's butler and baker were in the same prison. Both of them had bad dreams, but Joseph knew what they meant. I'm just wondering if you should stand on the floor. That's it, down there. Yes. Joseph knew what the dreams meant. So that was exciting. We're going to go back on our backup arrow. I think we all need a backup arrow. Should we all do that? There we go. Lovely. That's better. That's better. But when the butler was released, he forgot about Joseph, and so he was left in prison for 2 years. So we're back down again. You're beginning to get the idea of this, aren't you? But then Pharaoh had a bad dream, and it was really bad. It was the one about the cows. And then the butler said, "Ah, but I know a man who can tell you what that means. It's Joseph." So Joseph got released from prison. So he was on a backward, upward arrow again. There we are. Good. So we're back on an upward arrow. And the dream meant that there would be good years of harvest and there would be bad years of harvest where very little food would grow in the field. So that was one of each, really. That was two upwards and downwards. Pharaoh was very pleased with Joseph because he managed to interpret his dream. And so he put him in charge of the whole country. That was a huge upward arrow, a big stretch upward. Joseph settled down in Egypt and he got married and had 2 children. Now, I think that was an upward. Life took a turn. It was a big change, but it was an upward arrow, a great blessing. And you know, his 2 children were called Ephraim and Manasseh. And Manasseh means trying to forget the past, and Ephraim means trying to make a new start. Joseph was trying to turn a corner and forget all that had happened to him. Could Joseph forget the past? Could he really make a brand new start when he knew deep down that he didn't really belong in Egypt and he had a dad and brothers and family back home? We can tell from the names of his children that's what he wanted to do. I wonder if you've ever wanted to just stop something and make a new start somewhere else. On that cliffhanger, after all of our ups and our downs, we're going to take a pause. So, upwards and downwards team, can we have a big round of applause? And especially for my friend over there. Come and sit down. Go and find who you've come to church with. Just like the game of snakes and ladders, life is full of ups and downs. I want you to have a think. It was easy enough to spot the arrows in Joseph's life, which way they were pointing. Where's your arrow today? Where's your arrow? You don't have to say it's pointing right up to the ceiling. Our arrows might be pointing to the ground. They might be somewhere in the middle. A mixture of things going on. The thing is, we know from the Bible reading that God wasn't only with Joseph when his arrow pointed to the ceiling. God was, even though it might have been difficult to see it, God was with Joseph even in those moments where his arrow pointed to the floor. And the same is true for us. God is with us even when our arrow is at the ceiling, pointing up, and even when it's pointing to the floor. We're going to take a minute to pray. So just think for yourself where yours is at the moment, and we'll pray. Lord God, thank you that you were with Joseph in the good moments and also in those dark moments when he was in prison, when his family had disowned him, and when everything looked like it was going wrong. And Lord, I pray today for those who have pointed their arrow upwards. We thank you for joy. We thank you for hope. We thank you for good things. And Lord, we also pray for those whose arrow faces down, where life is difficult and challenging. And Lord, I pray for each arrow that points down this morning, that they would know that you are with them, even in those darkest, darkest moments. Amen. So we left ourselves at a cliffhanger, sort of. Did Joseph forget the past? Could he make a clean break? No. Even though his brothers had treated him so badly, he still found that when he saw them again, he still loved them and he wanted to forgive them. And I said by the end of the story, we had to see all of the Hebrew people delivered to Egypt, ready for the story next week of the Exodus. And I think the best way to tell you that bit is through the medium of DreamWorks. Jeff.
Why have they been arrested? Joseph, what are you doing?
You'll see.
I give you food. I take you into my home. And this is how you repay me? By stealing?
We wouldn't steal from you. We'd never do such a thing.
And now you insult me by lying.
What?
One of you has stolen from me.
Benjamin. The favored one.
I didn't take it.
Arrest him. For what you have done, you will be punished.
Put it in there. Ow, stop.
Take me instead. I beg you.
No. Take me.
Take me. Take me.
No, you can't. Take me.
Take any of us, Your Grace. But please, let the boy go.
You would sacrifice yourselves for a half-brother who's spoiled by your father?
Yes.
Why? Why should you care if I take him? Beat him, make him a slave.
Because I will not make my father suffer again.
Again? What do you mean, again?
Our brother was not killed by wolves. We were blinded by jealousy and sold him into slavery. For 20 years we have lived with that guilt. We can't go back without the boy. My father could not bear it a second time. And neither could we. If anyone is to be punished, it should be us.
I will not harm any of you, or our father.
I am your brother, Joseph.
Joseph? I can't believe
you got here. How can it be?
Joseph?
I have so much to tell you, so many questions to ask.
Joseph, can you ever forgive us?
I already have. Can you forgive me for thinking I was some miracle from God?
But you are a miracle. God sent you to save our family and all of Egypt, and you did.
Osana, please, I'd like you to meet my brothers.
Osana, welcome.
You will join me here, all of you, with your families.
Thank you.
There he is!
Joseph!
Father.
Boy, your mother prayed this day would come, that we'd all be together again as a family. It's a miracle.
Yes, Father, it is a miracle.